Hello, 1690 AM in Montreal.
Procedure Lonus. I'm Danny Aubry. Christine Fréchette was officially elected on Sunday to be the new leader of the Coalition Avenir Québec and will soon be Quebec's new premier. The victory makes Fréchette the second leader ever of the Coalition Avenir Québec, replacing its founding leader, François Legault. Within her first news conference, Fréchette stated that as premier, she intends to focus on addressing rising expenses, such as housing and groceries within the province. She also stated that she wants to bring people together, but also acknowledges that the CAQ is facing difficult times as the party has slipped in the polls in recent months. The next election for provincial leadership is set to take place in October. The Public Health Agency of Canada continues to investigate the Salmonella outbreak linked to pistachios 1 year after the first recorded infection. They stated on Monday that Salmonella-related illnesses have been reported as recently as last month. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has published dozens of recalls for various pistachio brands, such as Dubai Chocolate, Trail Mixes, and Raw Kernels. Illnesses have been recorded in six Canadian provinces, including Quebec, Ontario, and British Columbia. 26 people have been hospitalized, and 189 salmonella-related illnesses have been recorded since the outbreak first began in March 2025. Veteran stage, television, and film actor John Nolan passed away late last week of natural causes. Born in Kent, England in 1938, he started his career performing in stage productions with the Richmond Theatre Royal Court Company and the Royal Shakespeare Company. He later appeared in TV shows such as The Prisoner, Had Lee, and Shabby Tiger, but was best known for portraying John Greer in Person of Interest. He is also credited for starring in the films Dunkirk and Following, and for portraying Wayne Enterprises board member Douglas Fredericks in both Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. John Nolan is survived by his wife Kim, two children, and two grandchildren. He was 87 years old. For more information, go to cjlo.com/news.
Welcome back to North South Hockey. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. We are Concordia's only NHL show as of right now, but we'll see in the future. You know, we may have some competition eventually. There's a lot of competition to unpack this week as the NHL playoffs are in full swing right now. We are in the first round. A lot of great matchups to unpack. I'm Avery Beaumont here to unpack them for you right now with Will Shukri as always. How you doing, Will?
I'm mostly here, I think. It's a Wednesday. We're doing North South Hockey, right?
Yeah.
It was a long night last night, guys. It was a long night.
Will's having some time recovering from game two of the Canadians, you know. So we'll just jump right in and unpack some of the playoff rounds going on right now, some of the highlights, and then we'll get into some NHL news off the dome from other teams who, you know, are a little less fortunate and just kind of making...
but still important, you know.
Important is a stretch. Most teams That's are fair. Just making fools of themselves at the end of the season, as often happens. So I just showed you this. This was really funny. There was a hazardous incident during the Avs-Kings game last night in Colorado. Colorado got an OT Nick Waugh is on what team now? I don't remember.
On the Colorado Avalanche.
When did that happen?
I asked the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't know. I was about to be like, is he back on the Kings? Nick Waugh with the OT winner for Colorado. They have a 2-0 lead in the series, but an Avs fan shattered the glass at the rink because Wedgwood stopped Quinton Byfield on a penalty shot. Yep. And DJ.
What a save, by the way. Oh my goodness.
And I just like, I like the visual of DJ Smith getting showered with glass and like having to like shake it off in the middle of like, this is truly, for anyone who's not a hockey fan, playoff hockey is basically trench warfare. It is very much akin to such a thing. These men are insane. They don't wear enough padding. They're hitting each other every other moment they can. So of course, yeah, let's just add in like rubble and debris into this mix too. Why not?
Yeah, I just can't believe, like, this isn't on the fans. I want to be clear. No. I think some people are going to look at that and, oh, they're too rowdy. This glass is supposed to take two NHL players coming at it, each going 35 kilometers an hour, 40 kilometers an hour. One fan shaking the glass should not be able to shatter it like it did. It was unreal.
It was so funny. So funny. A lot of really funny things happening in the NHL this week. The Mammoth and the Knights, the series is tied at 1-1 after a 3-2 Mammoth win last night.
Their first playoff win in Utah Mammoth history.
That's really beautiful. I'm very excited to see. I think we talked about that series being a real toss up there and not really sure. But, you know, I like seeing the Mammoth do well because that team, like, look, I don't condone billionaires as a concept.
Yeah.
So I'm not about to sing Ryan Smith's praises. He is also doing like a bunch of AI terrible things. He runs Qualtrics.
He is, yeah, yeah.
It's all medical stuff too. It's real nasty kind of billionaire stuff. But that being said, he has done a phenomenal job at building the culture around that team. He genuinely has. The way that he has gotten fans to the rink, the like different concessions deals they did, the outreach programs they've done, the way that the players all very much like talk about like how they like. Sergey always talks about how he likes playing there, and seems like a good. Good vibe there, so I want
a good vibe. You saw the videos of him walking around the Utah Mammoth fans, just kind of being a normal human. Shocking, an owner just acting like a normal human being with his fans.
Yeah, again, that's a thing. No,
the bar is in hell.
No ethical billionaires under capitalism, but like he does seem like a normal sort. But
yeah, he seems like he wants to own the team, right? We have a problem.
That's a big thing. That's a big problem. You would be surprised, listeners, how many NHL owners, you're kind of like, why are you in this in the first place?
Well, just North American sports owners as a whole, right? It is, they see it as an investment, a money-making opportunity, and it's the wrong way to look at things.
But also, if you see it as an investment, then you should invest in it, which he's doing.
Yes.
But enough about owners and front office stuff. We want to talk about these awesome plays because the Buffalo Sabres are in the playoffs. They've had their first playoff win. They did lose last night against the Boston Bruins. Four straight Boston goals to open the series, you said?
To open the game, sorry.
To open that game.
They just couldn't get back from the hole. So the Sabres did score two in the third, but a 4-0 hole after 40 minutes, it's just too much.
Yeah. All of those young guys have been doing good. Keep an eye on, you know, like Zach Benson, Alex Tuck. Tuck's got that contract coming up, so, you know, this is a big one.
And if we talk about playoff guys who step up in big moments, Alex Tuck is one of those players for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The Sabres were pretty frustrated with the reffing last night. There was a call on Connor Timmins, and he was like yelling from the box. It's the something playoffs. Reffing, I have to say, so far I haven't. There was past years recently. Like I remember 2024 was the goaltender interference.
Yeah,
terrible year. But this season, I think I haven't seen too much egregious reffing yet.
No, not too much. No.
I think definitely. The Habs series, I've seen some interesting calls there for sure. Not the thing is, it's not swayed in either way, so I don't really care. But
exactly it. Yeah, it's inconsistent, but inconsistent for both teams. So you just kind of have to accept it.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't we do we have an ad break coming up yet? Or
Not yet. We have time.
Do you have any thoughts on these series? Any inklings?
This Colorado series might be more Colorado focused than we thought it would be.
It's the Kings.
I thought the Kings would maybe put up a bit of a stronger fight. I'm not sure that they will. Colorado, the goaltending is going to be a difference maker here.
That's insane. An insane sentence to hear about the Avalanche.
Well, Mackenzie Blackwood was strong all year. He had a great season. But you didn't know whether he was going to be able to continue that in the playoffs, right? Because it's just a regular season goaltender and a playoff goaltender are two different guys, right?
Yeah.
He's been playing really, really well. Colorado's got to be feeling good here.
I mean, that's ultimately like what it comes down to at the end of the day, mm-hmm. is that yeah, you have a great – the Oilers are the proof of that. You have a great team. You have even, and Colorado has markedly better defense than the Oilers have ever. Yes. But it's Kale McCarr's there. Don't worry. Like I'm not gonna forget about that anytime soon. But you really can't. I think they proved in their 2022 run that you didn't fully need goaltending if you have that strong of a decor. I do not think that they have as strong of a decor as they did back then, mm-hmm. and they cannot simply rely on Kale McCarr being Kale McCarr.
Yeah.
So it is going to come down to Wedgwood and Blackwood, and they're rotating both of them. So.
Yeah, I think it was Wedgwood last night.
It was Wedgwood last. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So that's an interesting. It's interesting to rotate goalies during the playoffs. I've heard some people speculate that they might start rotating the goalies with Montreal, but I highly doubt that at this point.
It's certainly something that's not out of the realm of possibility. Like, if Jakub Dobesh played really two bad games, yeah. games one and two, we would have seen Fowler. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that that Jakub Dobesh was Montreal's problem either of the first two games.
Yep. Just to wrap up, we'll get into the Habs games in a moment. That'll be the main chunk of the show today. But some other playoff games going on right now. Apparently, there is a series going on between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Ottawa Senators.
There is, yeah.
I've been
it's
told.
Happening.
I'm telling many people are saying this. I have not seen this yet because I just it can't. What? I'm sorry. Like, I'm supposed to. Can I be rude? Am I supposed to care about that? Am I really supposed to care about that?
Well, I said with my full chest last week that this would be the most boring series we see in the playoffs. Two teams that make a living with shot suppression. Two teams that make a living not allowing goals, not allowing high danger chances. Yeah, and it's been boring. It's been boring. There's no other word for it. Ottawa can't score. Carolina can barely score. Neither of these teams can put together seriously high danger offensive plays. It's boring. It's just boring. Freddie Anderson, though. Frederick Anderson is playing lights out for the Carolina Hurricanes right now.
That's actually...
Yeah, lights out.
Watch out, then.
Watch out, yes.
Because that's the only thing that's... Again, that's to the point of you do need the goaltending. Carolina has only not been successful because Anderson does usually choke in big moments.
Yeah.
So,
and you need goaltending. You don't need elite goaltending in every single game of the playoffs, but you need goaltending that can steal you games when you need it.
Oh, yeah. And also, I think the thing with Anderson is that it's not just, like, it's particularly, bad when he's, like, off, you know, because I think about that game a lot, when the Rangers went to the conference final in 24, Kreider got the hat trick, that was all on Anderson.
That was all
on Anderson missing very easy saves at a time when Carolina had the momentum to flip that entire series. The Rangers had the lead, but they literally played the two worst games I've ever seen them play prior to that game. So Anderson, if he just made a couple quick adjustments, that series might have gone to seven and Carolina might have won. So I think that is what it's going to come down to. I think they're sweeping this series.
Yeah, I think they are. I don't know if Ottawa is going to get a win. I don't know if you know what? I'm going to make fun of them for a while. It's okay. What are they going to do? Come all the way down here. I don't know if you saw all the NHL teams like posting fan-made playoff
songs. Oh, I was going to say, can we talk about we're bringing back some Calgary 2022 tomfoolery, embarrassing music videos.
Yes, the Ottawa Senators, a group of fans who did a playoff song last year for the Leafs-Senators series, released a... I can't even say it with a straight face. It's like a Weird Al Yankovic parody about the Senators over... Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things I've ever had to listen to. And I've listened to our show before.
Oh! Hey! Anyway.
I've listened
hard
to myself talk, and this is worse. Really just like, what I want to give them a lot of credit, the group. I wish I knew their name. I did forget.
I'll look it up.
Not that relevant. It's okay.
I kind of want to cue the song. I want people to know.
He didn't turn off the comments on the post, and I've got a lot of respect for this because there are a couple thousand comments that I would not describe to be kind.
No.
They're tearing him apart in the comments. He's getting cooked.
He is getting cooked, yes. And it's really embarrassing. I'm trying to find this.
I might be in there somewhere if you scroll through deep.
Probably. What is this dude's name? Ugh. It's Kyle, I guess.
It's Kyle. Yeah, that tracks.
The Kyle Ivan. Kyle Ivan, he put together this video. And what's my favorite part about it is, one, trying to do, like, rap about Tim Stutzla is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. And two, there's a music video for it with, like, his friends playing in a band. And there's a girl dancing there to hype them up.
Yes.
She doesn't show her face because she's so mortified to be in this video. If you watch the video, she has a Ottawa Senators cap over her face every time it cuts to her. And I'm like, I too would be embarrassed as
let's pull this up. I think we should treat our fans for with a minute and a half of Ottawa Senators ridiculousness. After that, we'll hit an ad break. This is the Senators hype song from the Kyle Ivan.
You're listening to North South Hockey.
Two Hurricanes fans go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Sens are back. Pesky Sens. They've created a monster because nobody thought we'd be good enough to make it back to the dance, did ya? Well, if you want Pesky, this is what we'll give ya. A little Tim Stew, mess with some shape. So you want the East, I think you're the master. But you know we're younger and we're faster. Better call your mom and call your pastor. You'll be spiraling like a tropical disaster. So step on up, we'll bring the heat, because we need a little controversy. Yeah, we'll make you look worse than the leaves, because the Sens are bad full of Stan Lee.
Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. My mama said nothing good happens when it's
late and you're dancing alone. Want to know the easiest way to help out your favorite community radio station? Well, there's this thing called the Community Radio Initiative. The National Campus and Community Radio Association and stations from across the country like ours are asking the federal government for direct funding for our sector. For CJLO's part, there are so many people at our station that are truly passionate about radio, and getting that funding would allow us to do so much more on and off the air. So if you want to help us out, head on over to mycri.ca. There's a letter writing campaign going on right now, and on that site, you'll find a tool that will generate an email for your MP and a bunch of other ministers in about 30 seconds. Again, that site is mycri.ca. Thanks for your support.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Sorry to break up your ad break, but this is Death of the Mid-Range, your future favorite NBA talk show. We help you start off your week right every Monday morning at 9 a.m., bringing you a diversity of episodes on the beautiful sport of basketball. All of this is, of course, on CJLO. We will see you there.
North-South Hockey on CJLO. I hope everybody enjoyed that Senators song just as much as we... I don't know if we've ever laughed that hard in studio. And I want to be clear, we're not laughing with them.
It's the fact that it's Pesky Sens, too. It's just so, like, little brother embarrassing.
Watch out for Shane Pinna.
The only thing that beats that, though, is the 2022 Calgary Flames hype song where the team immediately exploded.
Yes,
immediately exploded. And I do feel
now, to be fair, the same thing might happen here.
It's probably going to happen because the Sens literally, like, that locker room is falling apart at the very seams. Brady Tkachuk is about to be the next captain of the New York Rangers. Mark my words, that is happening. But it's just, oh, God, you gotta laugh. So truly, the Sens are just happy to be included in this playoff race. So we'll get into some other series right now. Let's go to the West Coast and talk about Anaheim and the Oilers.
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are the Oilers doing?
I have no idea.
Draisaitl's back.
And he had a good game. He had a good game in game one. He was instrumental to the win.
What's the game plan here is my question.
That's exactly it. They're not the best team. They're not the most competitive team. They don't really have the best anything. They don't have the best top line. They don't have the best decor. They don't have the best goaltending, coaching, anything.
They don't have the best top line. They don't have the best anything.
No.
They have the two best players in the league.
Well, they don't play on the top line together.
They don't. But, no, it is.
One of the best top sixes, but they don't have the best top line in this playoffs.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid didn't score a point in game one. And listen, but in the last two postseasons, there were only 11 games where Connor McDavid did not score a point. Until last night, Edmonton had only won three of those 11 games. Now, they did get a win in game one with McDavid held pointless.
Well, here's the thing. Don't sleep on Matthew Savoy. Don't sleep on him. because that's sure. that's the left wing they have on McDavid right now.
Right, but Young he kid. Scored 50 points this year.
Yeah. That's but that's he's like
that's a second liner.
He's like 12. He's like 12.
Yeah, Savoy's only 22, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's it's like one of those moments, you know, where you want to see the kids in the playoffs to see like what they can like unlock yeah. in themselves. So I don't know. I think that I'm just very confused by the Oilers because they haven't really given – they normally have pretty clear messaging, I would say, of like, we are going for a run this year. Like, even when they were bottom of the league and they mm-hmm. had that whirlwind comeback, it was like, okay, we know where we're going. It's like, okay, Dreisaitl got injured, and then it was like, oh, the season's done. Like, give it up. Pack it in. You know, we're not doing this. And now he's back. Do they think they're going to go to the finals? It just feels like – there's not enough direction to give a clear picture of how this series is going to go. And quite yeah. frankly, Anaheim, when you talk about who wants something more, Anaheim has way more reason to make this a statement series.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is going to be one of the most interesting series because of the reasons you just said. We don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know what McDavid's domination is going to look like. We don't know. This is a new first line together. I'm a fan of Matthew Savoy, but it is a new first line. This is not the playoff team from the last two seasons. It is a different team, and I don't think it's better.
It's
and Connor McDavid has got to be tired.
Oh, he's exhausted.
He's got to be tired.
Here's my hot take on hockey is that I think you can only – you can't dynasty in the modern era because I believe that the way that hockey is played to this day – like in this day and age, you can go to three finals. It's not about winning or losing. You can go to three finals.
Yeah.
And
because we played too many games now.
Yeah. And so like the Panthers, they didn't make the playoffs this year because they just went to three finals.
Yeah.
They didn't win one of them, but I'd still that's the thing. And so it's like Oilers, they've been to two. I wouldn't put it past them to here's the thing. You can't bet. They were bottom of the league the year they first went to the final. Like you can't. No, sorry. First went to the final. But like in this era, this like run. So it's like you cannot count them out. But
no, you can never count out Connor McDavid ever. He is the best player in the league by a head and shoulders.
Yeah, no one's ever going to dispute that. No. So it's like, you know, and here's the thing. If they're able to win where McDavid doesn't have a point.
It's a good sign, not a bad one.
Think about
that. Yes.
Think about it. It's like that's
they've only
that's
won
the main
4
issue.
Out of 12 playoff games where he hasn't scored in the last 2.5 seasons.
That's
and one
the
of them was game
issue.
One.
Biggest issues with the team is just the lack of depth and the lack of like it all runs through McDavid and Dreisaitl, obviously. But I don't know. You know, I think that Edmonton leads 1-0 in the series.
They do.
So I want to see more from the Ducks. I really don't want them to be like shrinking violets in this sense because it's like they were so good all year.
Yeah. It would be really disappointing if the Ducks just kind of rolled over to the Oilers here. It would be really disappointing.
And I think also it would be very cathartic, though, for one young boy in Philly, you know, who would like to stunt on the teams that forsook him. We'll get into the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. Outside of Habs Lightning, this is my favorite series.
100%.
Amazing.
Although it does mean that we have to watch Stuart Skinner play hockey.
I've been forced to watch that.
But hey, at least Connor McDavid doesn't need to watch Stuart Skinner play hockey anymore.
Think about it this way. At least Stuart Skinner doesn't look exactly like your ex. Like, at least think about that, dude. I'm having an interesting time.
It's an impressive lip carpet on Stu here for the playoffs, though. Hey.
Yeah, no. Stuart Skinner is bad at hockey in this This we all know.
Yeah. Statistically, the worst goalie in the playoffs so far for goals saved above expected, which some people hate. But I like that stat personally. I like collecting those high danger chance statistics and comparing it to the league. I think goals save above expected is probably the only piece of advanced analytics that I actually put weight into. Like, I'm not a huge Corsi 4 guy.
I hate expected stats, but goaltending, I will give you the goal. Yeah. That's a difference.
Because it's trackable, right? It's high danger shots. We know the percentages of all of these different areas on the ice. This one can be a little more tangible. But he's been awful. He's like a -6 goals expected. It's bad. There's only been two games.
It's very weird to me that like Pittsburgh was even like I understand it's the same conversation with the Oilers of like Sidney Crosby is on this team, Evgeny Malkin is on this team, Chris Letang is on this team. Yeah. You cannot physically count them out. However, I never expected the Pens to do that particularly well in this series because the only other pieces that they have that are interesting there is they have Ben Kendall, who's been really great. And then the other rookie whose name I'm forgetting right now, but they do have some kids that I'm glad to see them get playoff times. Ben Kendall's a friend of a friend, so like I'm always happy to see him do well. But it's just like Philly is like a bat at a place down in the pits of somewhere. I realize we're on radio. It's just like so they are so frantic and unpolished, yeah. But it's kind of making for the best playoff hockey possible, where it's just like it's very similar to Tampa Lightning of like, you know, they're like fighting. There's a lot of back and forth, a little less structure because both teams are not exactly the most structured teams to begin with. But Porter Marton, Trevor Zegras.
Porter Marton's having himself a playoff so far. And absolutely. That is a player who, when he was drafted, every single scout said, that's a playoff performer.
It's really, I get like emotional when these kind of stories play out, but like, I love when the rookie comes in after he, you know, he gets out in the NCAA tournament and then all of a sudden, like, he's coming into his own and he's helping. Matthew Nyes had a very similar experience with the Leafs. I love these moments, and he truly is, like, he immediately has been adopted by the Flyers community, which is so lovely, you know, because he right before the playoffs started, he scored the OT goal to clinch it for them.
Yes, he did.
And it's just so much. It's fun hockey. These teams are like sort of young because a lot of the Pens are a little young, and it's just.
And the Flyers are very young.
The Flyers are like wet from the womb, to quote Richard Iwate. It's like they don't know what they're doing. Their power play,
a deeply flawed team.
You watch a Flyers power play. It like it's different every time. It's throwing the dice. It's Russian roulette. It's like, I don't know. Just see if something sticks.
Yeah, just spaghetti on the wall here.
Oh my god, because it's Rick Tocchet, so of course he never thinks twice about a power play.
Correct.
But yeah. The thing is, they got the energy and they got the vibes and they got the love of the city of Philadelphia. And I will say some really funny things that are happening on social media right now regarding the Flyers. And the Pens is I saw that the if anyone's not familiar with our show, I'm a gay trans dude. Will is a boring straight cis dude, allegedly, and
allegedly boring.
Okay, you got out of that one, but so I'm privy to the what would be dubbed the enthusiastic group of online progressives. I'm in and around that space, and apparently the Flyers and Pens fans are arguing about which team is gayer. Or, like, which city is, like, less homophobic? Because that's the way that modern NHL beef happens. Because that's the thing. I was, like, I read that and I was, like, what? I'm sorry. What are you talking about? But then I realized, I was, like, that's really beautiful that that is how playoff rivalry manifests now. That it's just a bunch of gay lesbians gay and lesbian people on Twitter being, like, no, Philly's gayer. Philly's gayer.
Is there a definitive answer?
I know a lot of trans people in Pittsburgh, and I know a lot of gay people in Philly, so I don't think there is a definitive answer. I think everyone from Pennsylvania should just close their eyes for the next few weeks and then hold hands afterwards. Have a little powwow, sing kumbaya. It'll be okay. But yeah, so now we can get into the main event.
Yeah. You know, we've been procrastinating the main event, I'll be honest.
I needed you to wake up first.
It was a long night, folks. And I'm not as young as I used to be, apparently.
You're 22! Shut up!
Apparently, I'm not as young as I used to be. So, Game 2, Habs Lightning, last night in Tampa. Montreal came into that game with a 1-0 series lead. They won in overtime in Game 1. And they lost in overtime in Game 2. And I would say that the script was kind of just exactly flipped. In Game 1, Tampa was the better team through 40 minutes, and Montreal took over in the back half of the game. And in this one, Montreal was absolutely the better team through two periods. They started the third well. They started to falter, and by the time overtime came around, they looked flat. They looked flat in OT, and the Lightning took advantage. The ice was tilted in overtime. There's really no other way to say it. The ice was tilted. I think shots ended up being 8-1 in that overtime frame. They just looked flat. The first line is still struggling at 5-on-5. Shout out Anthony Cirelli. doing exactly what he has been told to do.
For anyone, not familiar, I go around talking about how Anthony Cirelli is the most underrated player in the National Hockey League, and I will
say he's
that
up
to,
there. He's up there.
Say dying day. He shut that top line down. He is really effective, especially as a playoff performer. His level of pedigree and experience, like, I think that it's going to be this is the problem with this series, is that the Canadians don't have, like, the full structure there. Like, they don't have, like, as much playoff experience.
They're not complete yet.
They're not complete. That's a good way of putting it. Whereas Tampa, they lack the skill. They're a complete team. The power play set, the penalty kill set. Granted,
the power play looks awful. Montreal's is nasty right now.
Oh, that's the thing. I will tell you.
That I didn't see coming.
That was surprising because
Montreal's 4-for-6 on the power play.
Tampa's power, a lot of that was Dobes, though, too, to be fair, who has had, by the way, a great opening two games. And I said that this kid is going to go sicko mode in the playoffs, and I think that
Jakub Dobesh is playing some really good hockey.
He's definitely not getting the most high-danger chances.
No, especially not from the Tampa power play that seemingly can't create any. I've never seen a power play that sets up with so much confidence and moves the puck so well and generates nothing.
It's interesting because Tampa had a really rough season a few years back. Mm-hmm. And or at least a rough start to the season, and their power play even throughout the mess looked like nothing had changed.
Right.
It looked very consistent, very similar. However, now it's like, I think we were talking about this last night, but what will do Tampa in this series is their own hubris. Mm. Because that power play, what it looks like to me, is literally like Tampa has been the best, like, that power play has been studied. It is like one of the most successful
for the last 5 years, 6 years. It's the best in the NHL.
It's the best
other than Connor McDavid, but that doesn't count.
And the Rangers too for a little bit notable, but like that power play, like,
it was a guaranteed goal.
It was a guaranteed goal even this year to a certain extent. And now it's like, I think they're all just complacent because you said they set up with such confidence, and then everyone's, I don't like throwing this word around about hockey players because I find that we do it far too much and in a very rude way, but they look lazy. Mm. It looks literally like everyone's just like, okay, and now one of you score. Someone else
That's
do
exactly
it, all right?
It.
Like,
they
come on, we can do
score.
This. We're the Lightning. We'll do this. Just one of you score. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Bystander effect. If a tree falls in the woods, like, one of you guys has to clock into your shift.
Yeah.
You can't
and
just
it hasn't been
it.
Cooch. Not on the power play. He hasn't been. I think that Kucherov's probably getting a little too much flack from fans right now. He hasn't played a great series. But I've been really disappointed with Nikita Kucherov on the power play specifically.
Well, here's the thing. Fans shouldn't get too mad at Kuch because, one, here's the thing. That playoff run is kind of, it is a little like everything is resting on him.
It is, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not fair to him because, I'm sorry, like, you one player, really, like, I don't, you guys know better than this. But also, big shout out to the Demidov, Texier, and New Hook Line,
which is shutting him down at 5-on-5 somehow. Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although that line was better last night. Brandon Hagel had a great game.
I will refrain.
He'll
my
get
thoughts.
His comeuppance.
He will. He'll don't get me wrong. He'll get ragdolled at some point. He will embarrass himself because he usually does. But Brandon Hinkle's a good hockey player, and that's all I'll say.
He is a good hockey
He's
player.
He's a very good hockey player.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Tampa diving. I don't.
Because
I don't think
diving.
It's important enough yet. I want to wait another couple of games. But it's a trend I would like to see slow down.
Tampa's a diving team.
They've always been a diving team. But this, I've never seen it like this. Game two was crazy.
Oh, you've never seen Brandon Hagel act like he's never been penalized in his life?
Well, it was
like,
the entire team.
That's what they all do. It's always this, like, what? Me? Like, what? It's like they've never played a hockey game and never experienced getting a penalty before. They always act like it's like they're newborns and they're just like, what? How dare you? I'm just an innocent young boy. Like, and it's like, no, you literally, like, This was a different game. Someone in the Flyers game swan dove over the net, and I cried laughing. I loved diving. Is really funny to me. It's just amusing because it is just like this dramatic, almost drag like theatric in the middle of a game.
The antithesis to what most of hockey is portrayed to be, right?
Absolutely. And like the thing is, I think I'm personally, this is a controversial opinion, if the diving is one, funny enough, or two, subtle enough, I love it. Go for it.
Oh, I will never be mad about seeing a video or a collection video, compilation video of funny dives. I will never, ever be mad. I'm not an anti-diver, but I'm certainly not a pro-diver.
Yeah.
I think that there's a line. I think Brandon Hagel actually does a decent job of towing that line. He doesn't get a lot of fines for embellishment, and he should.
He doesn't, because he doesn't fully, like, it's more the reaction. It's never the actual, like, Cooch will dive fully, like, lying
down.
Yeah,
the one last night
Cooch
was
crazy.
Cooch
will go, like, mummy mode and literally just be like, oh, no, I've injured
just
and I can't get up.
Forgot how to skate entirely.
Like, he falls over completely, just like, you know, poop. But meanwhile,
like, he didn't just score 170 points.
It's literally like you breathe near him and he'll fall over. Meanwhile, Brandon Hagel is more just about the, like, arguing with the refs after the fact and being like, what are you talking about?
He'll just go down easy.
It's like Trump. It's like, I did no such thing. I never said that. Or, like, I never said that. Paris is my friend. Like, you know, Lindsay Lohan. But, yeah, he will be probably the biggest bolt you'll have to shut down in
It's this. Looking like it. Yeah. It's looking like it. Yeah.
Well, because he's coming after, if anyone's familiar with the name Brandon Hagel, you might recognize that name. I'm so sorry you know someone on the Tampa Bay Lightning, first of all. I would never wish that upon anyone. But two, Brandon Hagel was Team Canada's pride and joy this year. Yeah. Last year, too, especially at Four Nations. He was one of the people who started those fights, fought the Tkachuks. And this season, you know, he was, he had some really, you know, great comments about playing for Canada, about really valuing the position and the opportunity he was given. And he kind of, I don't know if you regard him as a national hero, but I've begun to see him as such. Maybe not. Well,
probably not quite national hero status.
In my head.
Probably
in
not
my
quite.
Head. Yeah. Not in my world. Not in the world I'm living in. All right. Is there anything else you want to dive into with Slavkovsky? We can get into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to give JJ Moser a little bit of flowers, because I've loved that player since he came into the league, and he's never had the opportunity to play on competitive teams. And he is going to be a rock for Tampa all series long. Just a defensive weapon who can contribute offensively. He scored the OT winner last night, his first playoff goal, and certainly the biggest goal of his career. So shout out JJ Moser. But Juraj Slafkovský is, for the Habs, going to be the key to this series.
Yep.
He is going to be the key to this. If not, maybe Ivan Demidov. But Demidov just played 82 games. I think he's pretty tired. I think Demidov could use a rest. Whereas Slafkovský is being deployed everywhere right now. He's been the best player 5-on-5, other than Josh Anderson. Marty started throwing the lines in a blender during the first two periods of the game last night. And he was playing Slafkovský on that top line still, but he was also playing Slafkovský on the second line, replacing Texier. He was double shifting. And I think it worked really well. He stopped doing it. I don't know if Slafkovský was getting tired, overworked, etc., but he did stop doing it in the third and overtime. And I don't know if it's a mistake that the Habs looked really bad.
You know who I want to give a shout out to? I do, because I was just looking into this, because I'm worried about double shifting. I get really concerned about, like, I think Slav can handle it.
Yeah, it's a certain player kind of thing.
But
yeah.
It is a little like just be careful. I trust Martin St. Louis to, like, make good decisions, because he historically has, actually.
Yeah.
But I do worry about that a little, because this is the other stat I was looking at. I heard last night. Lane Hutson, I want you to guess.
Yeah, 29 minutes.
No, guess what he played last night.
Last night?
The first game one, he played 29
minutes. 29
minutes,
it was game one.
Yeah, guess how what he played last
night. Would have been 32?
32 minutes.
Yeah.
32 minutes, that's child abuse. That's child, I don't care if it went to OT. He's 32, literally,
yeah.
22.
Yeah.
Could you imagine
missing
playing 32
Noah Dobson
minutes?
Is huge.
Missing Noah Dobson is going to be. Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah. Do we
this was only the fourth time in his, or sorry, the seventh time in his career that he has played more than 29 minutes, and four of them have come in his last nine games.
And here's the thing: he's been a rock throughout all of it. Like,
he has, yeah. Yeah.
He's absolutely.
But he isn't dominating necessarily. Like, he's clearly being a defenseman, because he needs to be a defenseman.
I think this is the. Do we have an estimation on when Dobson's coming back, or is he out for?
Not for the first series. He's not coming back for the first series.
This is, I think,
it's
this.
Two weeks is what we were given on Sunday.
Do you know what's going to be really interesting? Is I want to see. I think they'll win the series. And
I think so.
And I want to see what, like, second round Lane Hutson looks like when Dobson is back.
Yeah.
Because he can't do any of the stuff that because he's doing too much right now. It's the Morgan Riley effect of, like, you have to, like, catch up and do everyone's job for them. So
you have
then
to drive the offense and the defense somehow.
You have too many, like, fingers in different pots. So then you can't do what your game is best. So, like, he's not, you know, I don't think he's generating as much offense as he could be.
No.
So I would like, but giving him a break, dude, he's 22 playing 32 minutes. That's insane. Yeah.
And he's not normally a penalty kill guy, or at least not normally a go-to penalty kill guy. And he's playing penalty kill one right now.
Yeah. And Yeah. So that's the thing. It's really this series from the first game, from game one, it was real. Like, I keep saying it's trench warfare because they hate each other. They hate each other so much because of that final, and it's so aggressive. It's been this very, like, hot potato energy. You said you liked it because you like the scrambling energy of
this. This is where the Habs will win the series, yes, when things go back and forth, when a space appears through the neutral zone. This is what Tampa's best at, is clogging the neutral zone. Mm. They're really, really effective at it. But when we get into scrambling end-to-end rush hockey, the Habs have a clear advantage here.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know, like what are you hoping, like, who, like, do you have any concerns right now specifically with the Habs?
I think I'd like to see Brendan Gallagher in game three.
Okay.
I think Alex Texier is probably the odd man out in this forward core. I don't think I know he didn't impress me the first two games. And Brendan Gallagher's had a week and a half of rest now. We want to talk about playoff performers. We want to talk about warriors. Brendan Gallagher is a warrior, and that is someone who I would like to be playing right now.
You just triggered my train of thought that I had lost. I think that is what, like, this series, basically, it's like boot camp for these kids.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you did well last year. We're going to give you big boy minutes now. We're going to give you real challenges and real chances, and can you live up to it? So far, Lane Hutson is doing a great job at that. Demidov as advertised, you know.
What a weird situation, eh? Getting the matchup against that Kucherov line.
It's an interesting choice.
Well, because Marty doesn't have the choice, right? Since Tampa's at home, John Cooper controls the changes and he controls those matchups. So I think that he wanted him against the Newhook Demidov line because he thought that Kucherov and Hagel could expose him. And it has not worked that way. Those two lines have just canceled each other out so far. And it's really, really interesting. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't need. Yeah, he's getting deployed everywhere.
Yeah, because he's normally on the best line that in that game last night. I would say the best line on the Tampa side was that Hagel Gensel Cirelli combo. And you know, I believe was JJ. Weren't they on the ice when Mosier scored? They were part of that. Yeah.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. Cirelli and Hagel got the assist on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That line is the one you have to watch out for. The top line does nothing. It's Point and Kucherov. They're exhausted.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a very lethal force. But so, like, Slavkovsky, I want to get back to that. And I'm sorry we're kind of going all over the place here, folks. Just bear with us. It's Habs hockey. It's good times. We're trying our best here. But I think that Slavkovsky is one
North-South hockey. We're trying our best.
So are most NHL teams. So are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Slavkovsky, it's very clear to me that he's – I think obviously Suzuki is the captain, and we often respect the way that his professionalism, the way he conducts himself. Slav seems like such an old soul to me. He seems very like...
He's been living on his own since he was 15.
This is, you know, maybe a bit projection-y, but like he seems very emotionally responsible. And like he's not... Because he's being asked to do all these things, and there is a confidence since the Olympics within him where he knows, like, he single-handedly led that Slovak team. Like, he was the driver.
In both of the last two Olympics. Don't forget, he won Olympic MVP his draft year.
Yes. So he has the confidence from playing overseas and playing with his national team that he knows how dominant of a force he can be. He also knows that he's not necessarily like the Canadians have a lot of really good players. So he doesn't necessarily have to be the guy. He is like, no, I'm calm enough to do this. Like, it's like there is an ease to his game. I think some of the Habs lack a little trust in themselves sometimes, and I can see them getting frantic. Slav never does that. Nope. Slav is an adult.
Not anymore, at least.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
He's a professional.
Yeah. There were growing pains for sure.
Oh, of course.
there were growing pains.
He's a kid. He's my age, I think.
But I think, no, he's younger. He's actually younger than me. He is a 2004.
Children get older. Even I'm getting older too.
But I think you've hit the nail on the head with the emotional maturity, and this is actually the reason that the Habs drafted him.
Yeah.
So he left home at 15 to go play for TPS Turku, and he lived alone in an apartment starting at age 15.
Good lord.
He would call his mom to help him cook dinner over FaceTime. Like, he never went out to eat. He cooked all of his meals. That he has been an adult since he was a teenager. Yeah. And this is why, like, this is theory, obviously, but this is what pushed him over Shane Wright. It's because Shane Wright displayed nothing but emotional immaturity in the 2 weeks leading up to the draft with those comments. Oh, I think I've deserved the number one pick. I don't think anyone else has. You don't want to draft a kid who isn't as emotionally mature as the next guy. Yeah. And Slafkovský will end up with a better career. I want to be clear. Shane Wright's going to be a fantastic player.
One of these days. Well, allegedly. Supposedly. We're still waiting for Shane Wright to be an amazing player.
Yeah. Seattle kind of sewered him this year, though.
Oh, see, he needs to get out of there. I want that kid out of there so bad. Yeah. He deserves a lot better.
Seattle sewered him this year.
They've not developed him well at all. Nope. It's not his fault.
Nope. They should be developing him like a Suzuki, like a Sorelli, right? And they're, well, Jesperi Kotkaniemi and the Carolina Hurricanes is another great example of that, of them just not knowing how to utilize a young player. And now he's kind of useless.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It is unfortunate, but I mean, that's... That's the strength of the Habs work compared to the other young teams we have right now, like the Ducks and like Philly. Mm-hmm. It's like they have been to the final before.
Yeah.
Suzuki is, again, just such a I cannot stress it out. He's going to win
the captain of captains.
Right. You think about who the best captain in the league is. It's like, I'm sorry, but it's him, because he's quiet and he minds his business and he takes care of his team and he he says the right things when he needs to, and they all love him. Like,
not a Boone Jenner fan.
He's still playing.
Still the captain.
He's still the captain. This is the first time hearing that the Columbus Blue Jackets have a captain.
Well, no. The Columbus Blue Jackets have a player who wears a C on their uniform.
Yeah, they do. Oh, God above. Well, we are going to head into an ad break here, folks. When we come back, we'll get into some non-playoff headlines, wrap up our discussion on the Canadiens. Don't go anywhere. It's North-South Hockey on CJLO.
Hey, this is Rob Trainor from Blackwater Rising, and you're listening to CJLO Radio Concordia.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Tune in to the Anatomy of Creepy Music right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Saturday from noon until 2 p.m., where we examine the origins and the evolution of music from the Caribbean.
North-South Hockey, we are just going to kind of wrap up this discussion about the Habs, because, listen, there are more games. We can't just spend 30 full minutes talking about the Canadiens.
We haven't done that enough this season.
It's true.
We've talked about a lot of NHL news over the season, but the Habs, it's kind of like, if I loved you less, perhaps I could say more. You know, little Jane Austen for you on this Wednesday afternoon. But it truly, I think that this is such a fun series to watch. If you know nothing about hockey, it's just entertaining, because when the rivalries come together like this, I think we've complained a lot in the last few years around the NHL that the rivalries just aren't hitting like they used to.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of the teams haven't been competitive at the same time. Yeah. It's difficult. Like Philly and Pittsburgh, amazing that that's happening, because they haven't really lined up for a while.
Yeah, this is just going to throw a bunch of gas on something that was a very, very small fire for the last few years.
And Tampa and the Habs is a perfect example of that. They, every whistle, there are
something.
Scrums. There's something. At one point,
Josh Anderson is always in the middle of it.
Oh, Josh Anderson. We got to touch on him before
we do.
Brandon Hagel did, unfortunately. I did believe he got the...
He beat Yaroslav Slafkovský in that fight. Yeah. He tagged him with one really clean shot on the jaw. Yeah.
It's just really funny. This whole series is so funny to me because it is like they keep getting into these fights, but none of it's like none of them want fighting penalties. So they're
no, they don't.
It's just a lot of like sweaty grappling and just like hugging. Gloves still on. They're just hugging each other, really. Yes. And I'm like, wow, you create intricate rituals to touch the skin of other men. That quote really rings true. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff. I would like to see Suzuki and Caulfield a bit more activated next game.
Yeah.
I feel like they were quite absent, which is fair enough because they were getting matched up against a really good
one of the best defensive lines in the NHL period.
One of the best. Yep. So I get it.
Still, you want more.
I would like to see a little
bit
more.
And you want more from Caulfield on the power play as well.
I think the power play, we get in fights about the power play a lot because I hate it so much. And Will's tried to defend it to me. And the thing is, it's just to me, it is too reliant on getting off one shot in the last third of it.
Right. Well, it's the opposite of the Lightning's power play. Right?
It's so much set up for one chance.
Well, no, they struggle to get set up, right? They're going to spend the first 30 to 45 seconds trying to get into the zone. Once they do get set up, it's pretty much a guaranteed goal. But it's if they can get set up. Like, if they can get possession in the offensive zone and get a clean cycle going, this puck is going in the net. But it's if they can get to that point. And it's the opposite problem that Tampa has, right? Well, it's part of Tampa's strength, right? Clogging up the neutral zone.
It makes perfect sense why things are going this way, but I think that this is why I randomly brought up empty net goals the other day, because I think that it's detail work right now that is the Habs need to focus on the most. It is being able to set up easily, effectively, that transition game, getting through the neutral zone, stuff like that, the clears. These clears on the penalty kill.
Oh, and we can talk
kill.
About Slafkovský here.
These clears
couple
are not
of weak clears.
No, real bad. Some real bad clears, and that's why I brought up the empty net thing, where it's like it's just a way to practice.
It's actually why they lost game two.
It is why they lost.
Slafkovský gave up a cookie.
Yeah, it was not him. Yep, clearing properly, and that's the thing. It's detail.
Like an awful clearance. Yeah. A shockingly terrible clearance. Really,
you do not think that that one battle in the corner or just the one sweeping motion, all of it impacts it in the playoffs. Every little detail adds up, and I just want the Habs to like. I know they're conscious of it. They're probably overthinking a lot, but it's just like, just drill those things a little bit. Just drill them, and I'm sure they are. I trust.
Yeah, I
trust.
I assume Marty was
Slav's bag skating today.
Yes.
Slav is bag skating.
Yeah, because remember, one thing the NHL has actually done really well with the scheduling this year for the playoffs is they've given an extra day to travel.
That's nice.
So there are 2 days in between Game 2 in Tampa and Game 3 in Montreal. Normally, we would be playing on Thursday in Montreal. Instead, we're playing on Friday. So we're giving them extra time. I don't know if the whole Canada-US thing has anything to do with this. I think it might to a degree. Flights canceled, right? The fuel thing as well. But even if they just did it to rest players, I love it. Give them an extra travel day.
This stuff is brutal, especially
brutal.
This season, the way that the league has been physically, all trying to do Panthers drag and failing horrendously and actually just hurting each other a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad to see some more rest time. And I don't know, quite frankly, it'll be more fun to see the first game at Centre-Belle on a Friday night. There are watch parties and cathedrals in Montreal right now.
All over Quebec.
If you want to go watch these games, you can go to any bar, any place. Yeah. I think Theatre Saint-Denis is even doing
anywhere
one on, like,
a with a screen will have it on. Absolutely.
And it's just a fun time because you can start talking to anyone on the street about it. And it's just like I got to say, it's just so special to be in the city at this time with this team, because the Montreal hockey is something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody can compare.
So, yeah, I would like to see – again, shout out to Jakub Dobish, who has been just – I said, no, that kid's going to – that's a playoff guy. That's a playoff kid, and I can see it. And he's been consistent and steady. He hasn't received enough chances to where he's done, like, crazy stuff yet. But
no.
I would like to – I think he's capable of it. I would like to see
it. Yeah, but I'd love him not to have to.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's just continue not allowing high danger, because that is maybe the most interesting part of this series. Only one team is getting high danger scoring chances. If you look at all of Tampa's goals last night, none of them were, except for the Slafkovský clearance, none of them were really on anybody, right? The one-timer from Hagel was just an off-balance, broken play. The puck squirted off to the point. He just threw it on net, and Dobesh didn't get it. The final goal of the game was a disgusting bar-down wrister from J.J. Moser that was a sharper angle than we would consider a high danger scoring chance. Mm-hmm. I think that this is where Tampa needs to be worried. But also, this is the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs. Their whole thing is we're going to wait for you to make a mistake, and we're going to capitalize.
They don't ask how, they ask how many.
Right. But also, by the way, this isn't the same Tampa team. We know that they can't capitalize as well as they did 3 years ago, right?
For sure. You know, part of me, this is unrelated, but part of me wonders if we should change the way that we view high danger scoring chances, because I would consider, especially with the young guys that far forward, I would consider that probably still, actually. Based on the way that just all those kids are able to, like, you know,
right,
from that corner. But we'll see game three Friday night. Everyone, hold on to your seats.
The weather is supposed to be warmer. Go outside the Bell Center.
It'll be great. They have, like, watch parties, like, truly experience.
Watch parties everywhere, literally
experience
everywhere.
Experience hockey, experience it. Yes. Even if you know nothing about it, even if you're like, why am I even listening to these two children talk about the NHL? It's a great time right now. So,
you know, say we're children. We're both older than most of the Habs players.
Yeah. I say child. I'm 25. Well, speaking of, you know, people having quarter life crises, we can get into some non-playoff headlines to wrap up the hour here.
I thought you were going to say Brady Tkachuk's name.
Oh, nah. We rag on him enough. Connor Hellebuyck, recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is still my favorite. Like, what? What?
Does that make him a war hero?
No. Presidential Medal of
it's
Freedom.
Not a Purple Heart, but it's adjacent?
No. Presidential Medal of Freedom is the highest civilian honor that you can receive. Joe Biden got it from Obama when they, like, went out of office the first time. It literally is a meaningless award that we give to people. I think, like, Mr. Rogers has had one or something. You know, like, it's just like, congratulations, good job. It's what the president – it's the President Likes You Award. It really is. It's like President's Best Friend. And so Hellebuyck, very good friends with Donald Trump. He did slam the Jets this week, Vezina winning goaltender over there, because the Jets horrifically missed the season entirely.
Yeah, dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire.
Yep.
After they were fairly decent last year.
Yep.
So Hellebuyck slams the Jets and says, what we did this year was unacceptable. No one wants to be part of that. Can you get the pieces you need? Will players come? These are always questions that you have in Winnipeg. I've made it my home and I like it here, but the majority of the league doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah. And he is correct. The NHL player polls always puts Winnipeg at the bottom of cities that players like going to. It's true. Nothing happens in Winnipeg. But this should be sending alarm flags through fans. This is your Vezina winning goaltender who just stood on his head and won the U.S. a gold medal. You can't lose him like this.
And you are at this rate.
Yeah. What that statement does is take away any sort of negotiating power that the Winnipeg Jets have.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And also, by the way, very funny choice of words. I've made it my home and I like it here. Most of the time when a player throws out that line, it's like, I love it here. I love the fans. I love this. I like it here.
It's like, I've made it my home and it's been mostly fine.
I've tolerated it for the last few. I think that's literally what he's saying. He's like, I have put up with living here.
Yeah.
You guys get me players that can actually play or I'm leaving, which is fair. I'm sorry.
Mark Scheifele had 100 points this year and they still couldn't do anything.
Again, one good player does not a team make, unfortunately. Even two with your goaltender.
Well, I mean, Kyle Connor was invisible.
Oh, God. Kyle Connor. Well, it's hard, which is crazy considering that he's usually so visible with that neck. Do you know that Kyle Connor was drafted late because he had too long of a neck?
Really?
Yeah. Like, they almost didn't draft him because his neck was so long. I don't know why that was a factor. I don't know why. It was either him or Tyler Myers. So, you know, fact check me on that. But
Tyler Myers does have a long neck.
Both of them do. Have you seen Kyle Connor's neck? Necks. Kyle Connor's neck is huge. So the other news, we had the NHL player poll and player agent poll.
Yep.
Some Habs news. The Leafs and the Canadiens ranked the best NHL rivalry by players. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Bell Center was awarded for the best ice for the 8th time in a row.
Yep. Ran away with it.
The players in the league want to see the league expand to Houston first. Mm-hmm. And
which is interesting.
Yeah.
I find that not the one that they think is going to – it's the one that they want to happen.
They want.
Which is really interesting. Yeah.
The most likely one, I will say, given my research, Houston's a bit messier. I think Atlanta has a stronger package right now. But they are taking a break, obviously.
And Quebec could always happen because they have an NHL arena. We just never know, right?
It's really
like everything is in place. They have an NHL arena. The Quebec Ramparts sell out 20,000 tickets every night.
I am getting really frustrated where it's like, why do, like, I know this is like, I'm sorry, this is American finding something out for the first time, but I do get very frustrated that all these American expansion teams, and you can't throw a bone to Canada, like just one, Hamilton,
a city with
Quebec,
an arena,
Hamilton, Quebec, all these different places, like, come on.
Like, the building of arena is normally one of the biggest things in the way. Quebec has one. Quebec yeah. City has an NHL arena. Yeah. It's new. It's beautiful. I don't get it.
It makes no sense, but we're going to wrap up here. Thank you so much for listening to North-South Hockey.
Wait, I want you to mention the Macklin Celebrini news first.
Oh,
I want you to just read word for word what you
word
put in the doc.
Word what for word what I wrote. Yep. Macklin Celebrini has not read the Bible and drinks underage. Call the nunnery.
North-South Hockey, Wednesdays at noon. Watch Habs hockey. Watch playoff hockey. I've been Will Shukri, and who are you?
I'm Avery Beaumont. Have a good day, folks.
We'll catch you next week.
You are listening.